Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me today, I have Stuart Wiggins, Jonna Ohm, and James Blair. The question I want to ask is, what does deep listening mean to you? Jonna, kick us off.
Well, thank you, Dr. Robin. It's a pleasure to be here. Deep listening to me begins with posture, leaning into the person that you are attempting to listen to, rather than listening to respond, listening to understand. And that might mean taking notes. It means actively engaging in all of the body language that is happening with your counterpart and absorbing every part of what you are into that particular conversation.
So I have a question about that. When you take notes, especially if you're on Zoom, do you tell someone, hey, I'm taking notes? Because I know when I take notes, I look down and I don't want them to think that I'm ignoring them. I want them to know that I'm trying to pay attention, but I'm taking notes. Is that something you also tell them?
I do. I've actually used that as a part of that listening process and actively said, I'd like to take notes to be sure that I can recall your exact words as I try to understand what's happening here.
Okay, awesome. Stuart, what is deep listening for you?
On the subject of note-taking, I find that it's very useful because people get the sense, I think, that you are really engaged with what they're saying. So in addition to the body language, if I say I'm going to take a few notes here, it conveys that I really want to be able to respond to them or hear what they're saying. To me, deep listening is I keep my mouth shut and I listen. Mm. And then when they are finished talking, I actually like to take a pause to make sure that they're actually finished. It does two things. It gives them a chance to make sure they're finished, but it gives me an opportunity to really think about what I should respond with instead of just opening my mouth and start talking.
I want to jump on the back of what Jonna and Stuart said, because from a nerdy point of view, there's always a problem when we're trying to listen to someone else. Mm. A human being can understand and comprehend, on average, something like 500 words a minute, but yet we can only speak up to around 200, 250 words a minute, which means your brain always has this excess capacity that it's not using.
Could go do other things.
Exactly that. So your brain is going to try to wander during a conversation. And if you're not, as Jonna says, leaning in, actively listening, having a strategy to figure out what that person's feelings and needs are, your brain is going to wander and you're going to miss the key point. Because so much of what we're communicating actually goes unspoken. Is in the language, in the tone, in the words we're not saying. So you've got to be fully on the ball to pick that stuff up. And then I love what Stuart said, take a pause. We're not just waiting for our turn to speak. We're waiting to respond to what they've said. How does it make you feel? What does it mean to you? How can you help that person get whatever they feel or need that they were trying to communicate to you? So really, I don't have a hot take. I just wanted to repeat Jonna and Stuart's advice with a whole bunch of nerdy figures. That was my position.
You know what you just taught me though? Now I understand why when I listen to books that I speed them up, because my brain can listen faster than people talk.
I spent years working in schools, working with teenagers and parents from like low income backgrounds. Your level of education isn't necessarily tied to your intelligence. Mm-hmm. So you're working with people who have a normal or potentially an advanced capacity for understanding, but maybe don't have the vocabulary to express what they're trying to say. Mm. If you're not doing all those things that Jonna and Stuart are saying, you are just going to actively frustrate this person as they try to communicate something to you. Because your brain is racing off and skipping around and thinking, oh, what am I going to have for lunch? Or like, after work, I've got to make sure I get this done. While this person is desperately trying to get something across to you and you are not hearing it because you're not deep listening.
That is so fascinating. Thank you so much for sharing that. I love the nerdy bits too.
Oh, thank you. That's really kind.
For me, deep listening, the difference between like deep listening and active listening and the other kinds of listening we hear, for me, deep listening has an emotional component, a deep respect, a deep holding of space that says you matter to me and what you're saying matters to me. And there aren't words that convey that. I feel like that's a an energy or a, I don't know, a space holding. And I don't know how to explain that very well.
I love that sentiment.
I think it's important to appreciate the fact that if someone comes to you, they appreciate the fact that you're a person they can communicate with, and you should respect that in them. They appreciate the fact that you are someone who will listen. And sometimes they don't want any advice. They just want to be able to talk.
I think it's the difference between seeing someone and just looking at them.
That's a great comparison.
How do you know if someone's deep listening to you?
Well, I think it feels vulnerable. And you talk about that unspoken sense of holding space for someone. And when someone's truly listening to you, I've had a few instances of this where you just all of a sudden feel almost naked and really vulnerable in that place. And it's really emotionally overwhelming, but at the same time, it's also a huge relief because it's probably exactly what you needed. And to have that, it's usually followed by a tremendous sense of safety though also. And so it's a very wave-like progression in my mind that this process begins and then ends and is a full circle situation.
That was really, I felt very seen as Jola was speaking there. That idea of going out on a limb and feeling vulnerable, as you were saying it, I could, like, that feeling, I was living it kind of vicariously. Because we've all been there and we've all experienced that. But what's really interesting is when you do feel really listened to, when somebody takes that moment to think and then responds very thoughtfully to the meaning of the words you just gave them, you do that immediate feeling of comfort. Your body will release oxytocin and suddenly you'll feel all warm and fuzzy inside. And what's interesting is that's a two-way process. So that person is also feeling the same thing for having empathized with you. And then if your conversation happens to be some sort of negotiation, or you're trying to persuade someone to do something or take part in something or go along with you, it becomes that much easier because you've both given that little bit, which is really weird. Like, I don't know how it is in the US, but in the UK, we are socially conditioned. We're brought up to give almost nothing away at every point, to hide your intentions, to be very mannered, be very polite. We're actively standing in the way of our own communication, because even if the person is listening, we're trying not to tell them anything. We'll ask them how they're feeling. We won't listen to the answer. We'll then talk about the weather and then we'll leave. Like, that's how we're brought up.
I was just going to say, James, we talked about the weather at my grandmother's funeral, like a very bunch of staunch Norwegians who talk about weather and what's for coffee. Like, that's the extent of our emotional reach, is brownies versus cookies.
Stuart, I'd love to hear your input on how do you know if you feel deeply listened to?
It's interesting. I've thought about that, and I think I might not recognize it right away, but it's when I walk away and I feel like that, you know, there's been a connection, and the responses that the person gives me an opportunity to think, okay, they really heard what I had to say, and they may not be providing me an answer. It's just that, you know, there's only a handful of people I know in my personal life that I think that, you know, I have a conversation with them and we each walk away feeling like, okay, we both listen. You know, it's unique in this day and age to be able to change somebody's mind. And you know me, Robin, I always say change my mind. I think it goes both ways. If I can change their mind, or if they can change my mind, or we can come to a common ground, I think that's important. But I realize now, as I sit here, I think I should go to the UK because it's a country full of poker players. Because they have all this emotion tied up in there. So I appreciate that.
But we're also terrible at maths, and we don't understand compound odds, and we all bet too heavily on ourselves. So maybe you'd clean up. Be great.
Well, that sounds like a great place to end this conversation. Thank you so much. I do feel heard. I feel listened to, and I appreciate each of you. And I look forward to speaking to you again very soon.